Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Recently, I told you about how the Republican State Assembly opened in Colorado when the president of Colorado Right to Life, Biff Gore, was announced to sing the national anthem, and with a rousing applause, it was a neat time. And there were about almost 5,000 people there, so it was good exposure for Colorado Right to Life, of course. Well, I wondered if you were aware, you, people in this audience for some time, that that was the same voice who cut the very first ad for the personhood campaign in Colorado in 2010. And so I want to play that ad just so we could remember. It was so powerful. We have it ready? Let's hear it.
I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
The right thing to do. Do I call you George Stevens or do I call you Biff Gore?
I think you call me Biff Gore.
All right. Hey, Biff, welcome to Bob Enyart Live. It's wonderful to see you. And what an honor to have the president of Colorado Right to Life in our studio.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm honored to be here. I think the work that you do in your radio program is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Biff, I'd like the audience to hear about your family before we begin. Your wife, Marilyn, your beautiful children. You guys, I ran into them at the abortion mill of all places a couple weeks ago. Your wife is a faithful Christian witness to women going in. Your children are so precious, and I just enjoyed talking to them and trying to get all their names straight. You have a gorgeous family. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Oh, the kids love going out. And they love to be a witness for Christ and to cry out for the unborn.
Mm. So, Biff, now as the president of Colorado Right to Life, there has to be a story to get you to that point in your life. So can we get to know you? I've known you for years. Cheryl and I just love your family. But tell me about what brought you to realize how crucial this issue of protecting unborn children is.
Well, Bob, I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland. And in Baltimore, most of the public schools have a Planned Parenthood office right in the school, somewhere attached to the school.
Oh, no.
As a kid growing up, you know, in Baltimore, I'm thinking, why do these people care so much about us that they would have this clinic, what they called a clinic, in this school, and they would be giving away, you know, free condoms and they would, you know, have classes on sexuality and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they also offered this this program that would help you get rid of your problem if you had it. And I knew numerous girls in our school who they get pregnant. Guys on the football team would get girls pregnant. And, you know, they'd be gone from school maybe Friday, and they come back to school on Monday. And you see these kids, and you didn't, you know, you kind of, for me, I didn't put two and two together. I mean, I knew that something was happening. Later on, I learned they were having abortions.
Right.
And you just saw a piece of their life, just this joy that they may have had before then, just kind of robbed from them. The innocence of having premarital sex, A, and B, they just took a life.
Right. So first, they had their innocence robbed from them from being sexually active before they're married.
That's correct.
And then secondly, now, a woman knows better than a man even that she has a baby in her womb.
That is
and
correct.
So she is robbed now twice.
That's right. And so these girls would come back to school and you'd see them and they were completely different. I mean, you know, this innocent, sweet girl who probably knew she made this mistake in having premarital sex. And now you see this person who comes back, life's been stripped from them, and now they have to cope with it. And now they're either more promiscuous or they're super, super, super depressed.
Yeah. And a hardening of the heart.
Yes.
And an anger. And so we know that teen suicide has been epidemic for a number of years in America, and even among young women, which is a great tragedy. It seems like people have been feminizing our culture into bringing girls into killing themselves. Maybe not quite equally with boys yet, but the feminist movement wants everything equal. You know, the equal number of women in prison, equal number of women killing kids, equal number of just a great tragedy.
It is an absolute travesty. And so as I've grown older, working in the medical field as well, you see these incredible numbers of people contracting or being diagnosed with certain illnesses that were not a part of that culture of women that age. I'm talking breast cancer in women in their 20s. And you have to ask yourself, what in the world is going on? Are we really living in a time where disease is so rampant? Well, I think the Bible has a clear answer for that. It says that if you take an innocent life, then a life is required of you. And so you see these, you just see these, this incredible devastation in communities, especially in the African American community, where almost one out of every two babies that is conceived meets its death. I heard a statistic that said that black on black crime was the greatest cause of death in the black community. Well, the greatest cause of death in the black community is abortion. We don't want to face that, but thousands, millions of babies are being slaughtered every single day. And people are just going with no conscience, you know?
And you mentioned breast cancer. At the National Cancer Institute, they have been in denial for a long time that there's a link between abortion and breast cancer. But their senior researcher on breast cancer, Louise A. Brinton, has now reversed herself, where she organized the conference, the national conference that declared that there's no link between abortion and breast cancer. She was the organizer. Our dear friend, Dr. Joel Brin from Baruch College in New York City, he was there at that conference as a dissenting voice. Well, now she has published a peer-reviewed journal paper saying specifically that one of the risk factors for breast cancer includes induced abortion. And this is a major turn for her, Biff. And so far, the media has ignored this. We put out, we being your vice president, Leslie Hanks, I was involved in writing the press release. A couple of the other team members, Daryl Berkey, research director for American Right to Life, put out a press release, and it got to Rush Limbaugh, and he spent 5 minutes on his program recently talking about the link between abortion and breast cancer. So little by little, as we're persistent and we fight the battle, we're getting the word out. Like you said, you shed innocent life and life is required. When you break God's law, really God's law stands, but you're the one who's now broken. And there are consequences for disobeying God, and killing an innocent child is one of the worst things we could do. So, of course, there's going to be devastation in our bodies, in our families, our churches, and in the nation.
That's right. And so one of the passages of scripture that's really convicted me is Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12, which says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not the one who weighs the heart perceive it? And so when you read that passage of scripture, you have to make three logical conclusions. Who are these people that he talks about, these humans that are going off to the slaughter? He's not talking about black people or white people. He's not talking about Jews. He's not talking about Germans. He's not talking about ethnicity. He's talking about humans, period. So when a group of humans are being killed who ought not to be killed, it is our biblical duty to hold them back from that. Secondly, the text makes clear that sometimes slaughter can be done with enough camouflage that people will say that they didn't know, that they had a plausible cause.
Oh, wow. What a good point.
And so they'll say, oh, I really didn't know that was happening. The Christians in Germany claimed that they didn't know what was happening to the Jews, but they did know. And they sang louder in their churches so that they wouldn't hear the trains as they went by. And, you know, I lived in Germany for 4 years in the military, and you cannot help but go to places like Dachau or Auschwitz. And you see these places. And I mean, if you don't feel the anguish of the people who died there, and if you don't feel the guilt and the shame that the people who knew what was going on and they didn't do anything. Man, I don't want to be in that number.
No, what a great point, Biff. I've not gone there. My wife and I are hoping someday to get there to Germany. But we have gone to Israel, Yad Vashem, I think is their Holocaust memorial there, museum, and in Washington, D.C., the Holocaust Museum. We've just recognized Holocaust Remembrance Day. And what we did, a dear friend of our ministries, gave our family a movie on Dietrich Bonhoeffer made by the Lutherans. And it was a great, powerful movie, but it really showed a sad thing. Bonhoeffer was convinced that as a Christian leader who had opposed Hitler while the church was taking a loyalty oath to Hitler and they were hanging swastikas in their churches, he was convinced that the Christians had to oppose the Nazis, oppose Hitler, and speak up to defend the Jews. But then he became convinced that Hitler had to be killed. So he was involved in an assassination plot to kill Hitler. Eventually, he was hung. He was executed for his part in that just a month before the end of the war. So he almost survived the war. But the sad thing in his writings, and this movie pulled out the worst of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, made by the Lutherans. I guess they were thinking they were honoring him. Biff, he was confused about right and wrong. He didn't know how to justify killing Hitler. He couldn't figure it out. So all he had to realize is that there's a war, and the Allies have the just side in the war, and we Germans, we could switch our allegiance, and under the authority of the British, under the authority of the Americans, and their just war effort, we could help them, and we could sabotage the German army or kill the German leader, and this would be just before God. It would be righteous. He couldn't figure that out, so this is what he did. He said, what we have to do is we have to do evil so that we will not be evil. He said, we have to choose the lesser of two evils. We have to sin to avoid worse sin. And I thought, what a great tragedy that Bonhoeffer couldn't think clearly enough. He literally would say that we had to do evil so that good might come of it, when the Apostle Paul warns us in Romans chapter 3, verse 8, do not do evil that good may come of it, because it cannot happen, it will not happen. And so this is the challenge that we have here at Bob and Yurt Live. You have at Colorado Right to Life. We're working with a Christian community that is not expert in the matters of right and wrong.
You're absolutely correct, even down to how we should vote. I remember a couple of years ago, after the first term, of George W. Bush. Mm. I was talking to Joe Scott one day, and I was, you know, talking
pro-life to her, hero,
pro-life hero,
and sidewalk counselor.
And she was talking about the election, and I was saying who I thought I was going to vote for, and she said, "Why would you vote for the lesser of two evils?"
Mm.
Because these people will betray everything that we stand for, everything that God stands for, and they will make up rules, they'll make up laws to say, and then you can kill the baby.
Mm.
So it's better to not vote at all than to violate your conscience in doing something that you know will result in evil.
Wow. And it turns out that George W. Bush, when you look at the exceptions calculator, which is online, exceptionscalculator.com, all it does is tally how many children a politician supported killing by his own policies. And if somebody is not aware of that, boy, I can't understand why they wouldn't be aware of exceptionscalculator.com. It's also at prolifeprofiles.com. And if you look at George W. Bush, this is a great tragic thing to find out, and I'm looking at it right now. During his term, when he was president for those 8 years, if you just consider his exceptions, people think, well, they're pro-life, but they have exceptions, so they want to stop the millions from being killed, and they would kill just, you know, a handful, which if you kill one innocent child,
kill too many,
you're guilty.
Yeah.
But it turns out that when you check the policies that he approves of, and when you tally them, it comes to 3.3 million children killed by the actual policies and approval of President George W. Bush. 3.3 million. And so what we have here, Biff, is hard evidence that when you compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, it's not as though it's just a small matter. When did it come to this, the slaughter, this genocide? It came to this when good people began to agree to kill one or two.
That is absolutely correct.
Hmm.
Well, and the third thing in that passage that really jumped out at me was the fact that we cannot make a clear excuse for our ignorance. Even if you say, well, I didn't know, your conscience will let you know that you are doing something wrong. That word conscience is two words, with knowledge. You know what's right and what's wrong. Even my two-year-old could tell you when she lies, she knows she's lying.
Wow, yeah.
We are held without excuse. We need to be doing something. I think that, you know, one of the easiest things you can do, like you mentioned earlier in our conversation, my kids and my wife go out to the mill a couple times a week. At least they try to go out a couple times a week and just be a presence there and just encourage people that you are going to do something that you are going to regret the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I love one of your quotes. You said, even if you kill your baby, you're still a mother.
Wow. Yeah.
That soul lives on.
Yeah.
And you're going to be held accountable for what you did.
You're now the mother of a dead child.
That's right.
What a great tragedy. And that these women could be loved with their child. Many of them think that they have no alternative.
That's right.
And if they don't kill the baby, then they're not going to be loved by the father, the boyfriend, their parents will kick them out of the house. And we tell them, you could be loved with your baby. You don't need to kill that child.
That's right.
And then we say to the abortion clinic staff, we say, at what age is it no longer okay to rip a baby's arms from her body? Yeah. At what age is it no longer okay? Because that's what you guys are doing. There are these little babies in the womb, and Planned Parenthood, with their suction aspiration abortion, literally is ripping the arms and legs off of children in the process of killing them. At what age is that no longer okay?
Oh.
And of course, in the years I've asked that question, they've never answered. But Biff, if somebody's listening and thinking, you know, I'm interested in seeing what it's like at the abortion clinic when pro-lifers, when Christians are there to intervene, but I'm too shy, I don't have it in me to speak up and talk to a woman going in, that shouldn't deter them from going down there.
It shouldn't, because all you're doing is just being a presence there. And you just don't know if somebody would say, hey, I just need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, can I talk to you? And you just share with them what God puts on your heart about life. about saving your baby, mm-hmm. and about pointing them to other resources, mm-hmm. like places, Christian adoption agencies, and other people who can help them make the right decision about mm-hmm. saving that baby's life.
Yeah, and say Lisa Kress, who's down there, or Ken and Joe Scott, or so many that we could name. If you go, you're an encouragement to them.
That's right. You are.
Like your kids being there. Your kids are an encouragement. It's such a blessing. And then when a woman drives up thinking of killing her own child, and she sees these children off to the side playing together, that in and of itself is a witness to her heart.
That's right. It is. It is. I think some of the smaller things that we can do is everybody could take a petition, go to their church, go in their neighborhood and say, sign this petition and explain to people what personhood is. Mm. It is protecting innocent life from the moment of conception on.
Yeah.
It's so basic.
Yeah.
It's a basic concept. And I don't understand, you know, you talk to people and they say, well, I think that there's some flaws in this. So while you hem and haw about what flaws may be in a law like this, innocent children are dying.
Mm.
So if you come up with a better way, well, maybe we could introduce that next year.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's personhood battles now that are occurring around the country in state after state. There are personhood bills being introduced. There are personhood signature drives to get amendments on the ballot in November. And so Colorado is really the heart and soul of the personhood movement. And what's exciting, Biff, is that Colorado personhood leaders are reaching out to pro-life personhood groups around the world in other countries.
That's right.
And so there is a movement afoot. Mexico has done a tremendous job of promoting personhood in state after state after state in Mexico. So now with Colorado getting back on the ballot, people have said, well, you lost in 2008 and you lost in 2010. So George Stevens, Biff Gore, why do this?
You know, you're right. I thought about this and I studied Wilberforce's life and how he William Wilberforce took him 60 years, 60 years of fighting, cost him his health, cost him his life, really, of fighting against people who were as capitalistic as we are in our society. I mean, you think about the abortion trade, and it is a trade. People are making billions of dollars
off
of these.
It's an industry.
Because then you can reduce life down to a cell that can be sold.
Mm.
A cell, a C-E-L-L that can be sold.
Oh, wow. And they are selling. They've been doing this for years.
Oh, yeah.
They harvest the body parts of the kids that they kill, and they sell the tissue, whether it's a liver or
That's
a brain.
Right.
Or intestines
That's
or
right.
whatever.
Or stem cells.
Stem cells.
Yeah.
And they sell these things and they get a lot of money from researchers. It's very grisly. It's Mengele-esque.
That's right. It is. And so, you know, in the sense of incrementalism, you have to change the culture by changing the people's minds and hearts.
Mm.
That's why there's a two-prong approach. First of all, we need to be preaching the gospel wherever we go. Because if the church would just wake up, this wouldn't even be an issue. If the church would rise up, the people who claim that they are sold out believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in the things that Christ has told them to do. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, part of his commandments is loving
your
neighbor.
Love your neighbor.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor.
Yeah, don't.
Biff, when you quoted from Proverbs 24, I thought of the article at AmericanRightToLife.org. Just click on Bible or /Bible. And there are so many powerful Bible verses there. It's really one of the best resources on the entire internet for what does the Bible say about abortion? And what does the Bible say about what our involvement should be? And the Bible explicitly deals with killing an unborn child and how that's a crime. Explicitly deals with that. And so that's explained there. But then in the section on love your neighbor, the responsibility to intervene, the verse you quoted is the very first verse that's there, but then there are other passages in Scripture, and God says that he holds us accountable when we look the other way and pretend that an innocent person has not been killed in our community. He says, I will hold your whole community responsible, and you will not be blessed.
That's right.
These things are close to God's heart, yet Christians, they say, well, we shouldn't be involved in politics, as though killing a Jew or lynching a black man, or ripping the arms and legs off of a baby is politics.
That's right.
And we think that we're absolved of any responsibility because we say, well, that's beneath me. I don't want to get my hands dirty.
Yeah. So, Bob, you asked me a question about how this affects me personally. When I was in the military, I worked in the operating room, and, you know, we would do what's called a DNC, a dilatation and curettage, if you had a woman who had a spontaneous abortion, which is life ending naturally. You do a blood test to make sure that the pregnancy hormones have actually gone down. You do have to remove that tissue from the uterus so that the woman doesn't become toxic, so those tissues don't become toxic. At that point, the dead baby becomes a poison to the mother.
Right.
And I tell you, man, you would be in there in the operating room and they would do these DNCs and you can hear these body parts coming out. And it was just... It was the worst thing in the world. And I don't see how anyone with a conscience, these abortion doctors, how they can live with themselves. Now, I know the searing of the conscience comes.
Right.
But what about the mothers who have to hear that noise?
Yeah.
That is a ringing noise that you will probably hear throughout all eternity if you don't seek after God for forgiveness.
Yeah, and God will forgive.
He will.
Anyone, when there's life, there's hope. And God will forgive. But then after death, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die.
And then the judgment.
The judgment. Right. In fact, there is a George Tiller Memorial, which is just devastating. GeorgeTillerMemorial.com. And it has photos of a mom and the dad and their baby inside of George Tiller's abortion clinic. And it is just the most devastating thing, the GeorgeTillerMemorial.org. And the mother is posing with her dead baby, and so is the father. They give the baby a teddy bear, a picture of Jesus, a rose. They killed this baby, and then the mother wrote a handwritten letter in grief, realizing that she had killed her child unjustly. There is never a reason to intentionally kill an innocent child.
Never. Never, ever.
And these photos were taken with the permission and the authority of George Tiller himself, obviously before he was killed. And so this GeorgeTillerMemorial.org.com, whichever, it's just a stunning thing to see. So you're talking about having seen this when the baby was dead.
Yeah.
A DNC.
That's correct.
And imagine when this is the process of killing that child. So the personhood petition effort, you guys need help, don't you?
We need a lot of help. We need an army of people to go out and get signatures. Mm. And we just need to send a message to the gates of hell that we are going to be here. We're going to fight for our neighbor. The baby is our neighbor.
Wow. So the phone number for Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. If somebody calls and asks for a petition, you guys be happy to mail one out free of charge?
Oh, we sure would be.
All right. That sounds great. And also, anybody could email office@ColoradoRightToLife.org. I usually abbreviate it ColoradoRTL.org because they both work. So office@ColoradoRTL.org. Biff Gore, thank you so much for joining us here at Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It is an honor to have the president of Colorado Right to Life in studio. It was so great to go to the Colorado Republican State Assembly and see Biff Gore announced as the president and to sing the national anthem. Hey, God bless you guys.